Tonight's shir is on this week's upcoming Parsha, Acharei Mos Kedoshim, on what is Rechilas. So we're going to look at Parsha's Kedoshim, particularly, not Acharei Mos, and we're just going to analyze one of the psukim that is brought into the Parsha. So if you look in source number one, it's Vayikra Perek Yates Pasuk Tes Zayin. The Pasuk says, Lo Seleich Rachil Be'amecha, Lo Samor Adam Riecha, and Yad Hashem. So the Pasuk says that a Rachil, which I'm not going to define, because that's really what the shir is going to be on, that there shouldn't be a Rachil that travels, that goes in amongst you, like within your nation, and you should not stand on the blood of your friend, I am Hashem. So the question that we're going to start with is, what is a Rachil? How do we define what a Rachil is? And tonight I'm going to start with the Torah Tmima. The Gemaras that he quotes, we're going to look at some of them and try to analyze it as opposed to our normal idea of what it is. Perhaps we'll get a new insight into what Rechilas is. So Vayikra Perek Yates, the Torah Tmima in source number two, Lo Selech Rachil Tanya, Azhara Lamotzi Shem Raminayin. So where do we know that you're not allowed to defame somebody else? Where do you learn it from? Amar Rav Elazar Lo Selech Rachil. So he learned it out from this Pasuk. So the Pasuk of Lo Selech Rachil teaches us that we're not allowed to defame another person. We can't do Motzi Shemra. And if we go on, the next one in the Torah Tmima says, Lo Selech Rachil, Harezu Azhar Levistin, Shaloye Rach Leze Vekasha Leze. So another explanation of Rachilus is that it's really for Bastin, that in the court system, the judges shouldn't be soft towards one litigant and harsh towards another litigant. Okay, so this comes from the first two Torah Tmimas comes from the same Gemara. The Gemara is in Ksubos, where there's a machlokas as to what you learn from Lo Selech Rachil, which is in our Parsha, in the Pasuk that we started with. So let's just look at the Gemara inside so we can get a better understanding. Look in source number three. So the Gemara asks the question, Azhar Lamotzi Shem Raminolan. Where do we know that where the Torah actually warns us against defaming somebody else? Where is it from? What pasuk? So Rav Elazar Amar Milo Selech Rachil. So he learns it out from our pasuk in Kedoshim that a rachil should not go within your nation. Rabbi Nassan Omer Mi Vinishmar Tam Mikol Davara. So he learns it out from a different pasuk. He learns out that you're not allowed to say Motzi Shemra from a pasuk in Devarim. Look in source number five. We should look at it inside. It says Kisei Machane Al Oivecha Vinishmar Tam Mikol Davara. So when you go out to war, your camp goes out to war against your enemies, you should be careful from anything that's evil. So it doesn't make sense, at least on the surface, as to what the relationship is between that and Lashon Hara. However, it's clear from the Gemara that Rabbi Nassan holds that the Isser of Motzi Shemra, which is a type of Lashon Hara, where you defame somebody else, that's learned out from this pasuk. So where's the limud? So the Torah Tmima in source number 6 is a little helpful. We should just do it inside. Source number 6, the Torah Tmima says, Nira the Samech ala Drasha Shebisifri, Sheyuva Bisamech Vinishmarta Mikol Dabara Afilu Dibora. So the Limud, the way they intuit this idea, is that the Pasuk says, Vinishmarta Mikol Dabara, that you should guard yourself from anything that is bad or evil. But you can read that as Afilu Dibora, even an evil speech, which is a reference to Motzi Shemra. The Uyan Sham, Vikar Lize Azhara al Piyamavuar, Bekama Mekomas Bishas, Kol Makum Shnemar Hishamer Pen Eno El Lo Sase. And whenever it says Hishamer or Pen, it's a Lo Sase. Vitam Smichas Azhara Zu, Luchisete Machane Nivar Besamach. So he explains what the Smichas is, what the relationship is between the beginning of the Pasuk and the end of the Pasuk. But let's go back to our Gemara. So just to break it down and summarize, the Gemara asks the question, where do we know that it's usher to defame somebody else, to ruin their reputation by saying negative things about them? So there's two approaches. One is Rav Elazar. He says it's learned out from Milo Selech Rachil, that a Rachil should not walk. And Rabbi Nassan Omer, and he says it's from Anishmarta Mikol Davara. So the question that I want to analyze or take up is, what's the source of the Machlokas? Not necessarily the why, but how would we define the machlokas as to where you learn out Motzi Shemra from? Is it from Lo Selech Rachil, or is it from Vinishmar Tabikol Davara? But let's keep going in the Gemara. We're not going to stop there. Rabbi Lazar, my time of Omar Mahai. So the Gemara keeps going and it says, why doesn't Rabbi Lazar, who learns it out from Selech Rachel, why doesn't he learn it from the other Pasuk? These common logics in the Gemara. Why does one learn out from one and not the other? So the answer is, Ahumi Baile, Lechadra Pinchas Ben Yair, Minishmar Tami Kol Davara, Mikan Amara Pinchas Ben Yair, Al Yahar Adam Biyom, Viyavo Li De Tuma Balaila. So he uses the Pasuk of Lo Selech Rachel to teach you a different idea. And the idea of Lo Selech Rachel, Vinishmar Tami Kol Davara, that's a little confusing, excuse me. So he uses the Pasuk of Vinishmar Tami Kol Davara to teach you that a person's not supposed to have fantasies during the daytime, and it'll lead to an omission at nighttime. Rav Nosson, my time of the Omar Mahai. So why doesn't Rav Nosson learn out that Motzi Shemra comes from Lo Selech Rachel? And why does he learn it from Nishmar Tabi Kol Davara? So he answers, Hahu Azhar LeBeistin, the idea of Rechilas is really for Beistin, for the court system. Shelo Yehei Rach Lezeh V'Kash Lezeh. The idea of Rachel is from the word Rach, which means to be soft and kind. So the judge shouldn't be favorable and kind to one and harsh to another. And that's the end of the Gemara. Okay, so we have our questions. Our questions are, what is Rechilas? And there's two explanations. One explanation is that Rechilas is teaching you that it's usur to say insulting things, to defame somebody. And the other side holds, no, that really you learn it out from Anishmar Talmi Kol Davara, and Rechilas is an idea in Beis Din, that when the courts are approaching, or when litigants approach the court, the judges have to be impartial. They have to be objective to all the litigants. They cannot favor and be soft towards one and be kind towards one and be harsh towards another. But can we define the machlokas in the beginning? Can we understand what they're arguing about as to whether or not you should learn out the Isser of Motzi Shemra from Lo Selech Rachel or Vinishmar Tami Kol Davara? And it's really interesting. Vinishmar Tami Kol Davara is an interesting pasuk to use in order to teach us that you're not allowed to defame somebody else. It just sounds like a general idea that you're supposed to guard yourself from evil. So what exactly is the concept and what's the machlokas? So I just wanted to give an idea. The first idea in the shir I just wanted to share is on this machlokas, on how to understand it. And I believe we can look at Vinishmar Tami Kol Davara, which is in our parsha, but we'll still use it. It's in the Gemara from Devarim, source number 5. Again, it says, Ki seitse machane al oivecha Vinishmar Tami Kol Davara. So most of the Rishonim over there, the pshat is that when you're going out to war against your enemies, in wartime and in other countries and other areas, there's usually a lot of lures. There's a lot of things that tempt you to do that are usur. You have to protect yourself. You have to guard yourself from the environment of the non-Jews, especially when you're going to war. And that's one of the reasons why the idea of Yafas Torah was allowed. But nevertheless, when you go out to war, you have to be particularly aware of the fact that you're in an environment that's conducive to sin. And that's the basic shot of the pasuk. So maybe we can use that idea to explain the concept of Motzi Shemra and the machlokas. So perhaps Rabbi Nosson holds that in a similar vein as the shot of the pasuk, Motzi Shemra is really just something that a person does where they don't think about it. They're ensnared in a situation. You're ensnared. You're angry, and something just pops out of your mouth. It's a verbalization that sometimes you're not aware of. Sometimes you lose track of where you're at, and you just become ensnared in a situation, and Motzi Shemra comes out. You get so angry that you say something that you wish you took back. But according to Rav Elazar, he holds that Motzi Shemra is a deliberate act. It's a conscious act. It's something that a person thinks about before they say, that we don't assume or we don't view Motzi Shemra as just a natural, unconscious slip of the tongue. So I think that's a machlokas between Rav Elazar and Rav Nosson. The question is, how do we look at Motzi Shemra? Do we look at Motzi Shemra as not being necessarily intuitive, natural, unconscious? Rather, it's deliberate in nature, and the Torah is telling us, don't do this, Lo Selech Rachil, that you have to avoid this type of deliberate action, Or is it Vinishmar Tami Kol Davara? Is Moti Shemra just natural? It's just something that you get ensnared into. It's something that you have to be conscious of because you're naturally not conscious of it. And it just slips out of your mouth. When you're angry, you just say something negative about somebody else. And it's just so intuitive and natural to say it that the Torah is teaching us Vinishmar Tami Kol Davara, that you have to be aware of it. You have to be conscious of situations where you'll be ensnared and it might just pop out of your mouth. So that's the machlokas. How do we view Moti Shemra? But I think Rabbi Nassan, he really holds that Rechilas is a different idea, but I don't think it's that different than Moti Shemra. He learns that Rechilas to teach you that judges have to be even-minded, objective, and they can't be Rach Lezeh and Kasha Lezeh. They can't be soft to one and harsh to another. So obviously he's learning out the pshat of the word differently. Rechilas, according to Rashi, we'll look at later, is miragel. It's like to spy on somebody else and to speak about them. But he's learning it as rechilus, as rach. But I still think that despite the fact that he learns the pasuk to teach you a different practical idea, there still is a conceptual connection between the two, which is that what causes a person to say lashon hara is, and it's a bias, the person's inability to be objective in situations. So when you say Lashon Hara, when you're Moti Shemra, oftentimes, not all the time, but oftentimes, Moti Shemra is a byproduct of a certain bias that you have, a certain negative attitude that you have that isn't justified. And we're not as objective as we think we are all the time. And specifically, with regard to judges, it's more important because of Mishpat Hashem and Tzedek Tzedek Tirdof. But nevertheless, the idea of Rechilas, the concept that of Lashon Hara is tied to this idea of Rach Lezeh, the Kasha Lezeh, that a person, just like a judge, has to be aware of the fact that he's impartial, and as a result of him, his impartiality, his bias, that's what the source of Moti Shemra is. So even though he's arguing as to what the source of Moti Shemra is, still, deep down in the Pasuk of Rechilas, there is this similar concept, which is tied back to the source of a person defaming somebody else. A lack of ability to be objective, to be biased towards one person, and therefore say something negative towards them or about them. So again, just to summarize, hopefully it was clear, but the machlokas, I believe, is on how you look at the Isser Moti Shemra. Do you look at it, does the Torah look at it as deliberate, or does it look at it as something that happens unconsciously, and something, therefore, that a person has to be aware of and conscious in order to stop, because it's so natural for a person to say something negative. However, even according to Rabbi Nassan, Rechilas doesn't mean Moti Shemra. It means that the judges have to be objective. They can't be biased. But bias is the source of Moti Shemra. Bias is the reason why people say bad things about other people. It's aggression, but it comes from, it's usually sourced in a lack of objectivity. So there's some similarity between how they look at the psukim. But again, the machlokes is whether or not Moti Shemra is viewed as deliberate, or it's viewed as something that a person has to guard against because it's intuitive. It's like when you go to war and you're in a state of mind where it's so natural for you to do Isser. Same thing with Moti Shemra. There are situations where it's just so natural for you. It's your nature to lash out without punching a person in the face. You can use your words instead. And it's so natural to outlet your aggression that way that the Torah is commanding us, V'nishmar tami kol davara, that we have to be aware of it. So that's, I think, the machlokas. But we have two ideas of Rechilas. One idea of Rechilas is the actual Lashon Hara, the Moti Shemra. The other idea of Rechilas is from Rabbi Nassan, that it's the underlying bias that is really the source of Lashon Hara and the source of defaming, but it only applies technically to the judges because of the Nafkamina and in terms of like judges being representative of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Mishpat Hashem. So I think that explains it. And we're just going to do one other Gemara, hopefully. So I wanted to go... Any questions, by the way? I just want to stop. I don't want to keep talking. Any questions? Hopefully the points are clear. Any questions on that idea? Any idea? Okay.
Rabbi Ginsburg.
There we go. Yes, sure.
I'm not following the idea of bias. In other words, bias means that a person comes in with a prejudgment.
Exactly, yeah. It's like a person is using his unconscious and all these non-rational thoughts to develop an opinion about somebody else, and that's usually the cause of why a person acts one way towards one person and another way, another, sometimes or many times it's an irrational bias that you have.
So is that aggressive?
Yeah, that is, well, it's an outlet of aggression when you are aggressive in terms of your Dibor, but yeah, it could be, yeah, it's an outlet of aggression for sure. But what I mean by bias, because what I mean by bias in general, and this is another field of another shiur on social psychology, but bias is really the concept that people are influenced by all these aspects of their life, and they size up people automatically. It's our nature to size up people based on the impressions we have of other people. There's all these irrational, unconscious, and it's a very Freudian concept as well. There are all these unconscious reasons why we're attracted to certain people. I'm not talking about physical attraction. I'm talking about psychological attraction. And all these factors influence the way we perceive others. And if we're not aware of that, that's what I mean by bias. If that's natural for us, it's natural for us to feel a certain way about somebody else just when we meet them. And if we're not aware of that, then it'll become an unjust outlet for our aggression. We might dislike somebody and it won't be fair. It's not objective. We're not being objective about the person. That's the same idea by the judges. So that's the idea of bias that I mean. Does that make sense? Is that clear?
A person has, in other words, how's it possible for a person to have a totally blank slate?
Well, no, you can't, but...
I can understand a judge.
Yeah.
In case in, you want to be objective.
Right.
But regular between Adam and Chavera,
yeah.
How do you come in with a blank slate over there? I don't.
So you're saying that it's impossible to be unbiased?
You're talking about interaction between two people. I mean.
Yeah, I'm saying that when a judge acts in a biased manner, so it's not rational. He's just acting. He's soft towards one because he might empathize with them. He might identify with them, and he's harsh towards another because that's not a rational idea. A judge has to be impartial. It's the same thing with you. You might feel aggression towards somebody else because, you know, they don't look like you. They don't talk like you. They annoy you. They talk too much. You know, they just don't have the same communication patterns. These are all reasons why a person feels aggressive towards somebody else. And they're a byproduct of having a certain bias towards that person. But objectively, the person's not a bad person just because they talk too much, correct?
True.
So that's what I'm saying. That's the idea of Motzi Shemra, one of the ideas of Motzi Shemra, that when somebody, you're not necessarily being objective when you defame somebody else. Usually you're not, because you're judging them based on some quality that they have, typically, and perhaps... the source of that is a bias that you have, an unfair bias, a lack of objectivity. Like, you might just not like the person because they have dark hair or because they're short or they're tall or whatever. I'm just saying I think that's a chiddush. Sometimes that's the unconscious source for why this individual becomes the outlet or the target of your aggression. So I think that's what maybe Rabbi Nelson is pointing out, that Rach Lezeh and Kash Lezeh is tied to, you know, the emotions of a person identifying with one litigant versus another, and a judge has to be as impartial as possible. Same thing when you interact with people. You have to be aware of how you identify with others, how you lack identification with certain people, and it could be that it's not fair and you're not being objective. And that could be and is possibly a source of Motzi Shemra.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah, no problem. All right. So just one more point, go back to the Torah Tmima. So if you go up to source number 2, and you look at the third one and the fourth one, they also come from the same Gemara. So we got to group them together. Lo selech rachil, hayu shnayim omrim zakai, ve'echad omer chayav kosim zakai, mishum lo selech rachil. So let's say you have a court, and two judges say that the guy's innocent, but one judge says the guy's chayav. So what do you write when they would write their psak din? What do they write? So you're supposed to just write, according to the one sheet, you just write zakai, that the guy's innocent. You don't mention the fact, And we'll see this in the Gemara, that one person or one judge argued and said that he was guilty. And then Tanur Rabbanan, the next one, Minayin Shel Yomar HaDayan Harei Ani Mezakeh V'Chaveri Mechayvin. And similarly, the Dayan shouldn't say, the judge shouldn't say, that I'm saying that you're innocent, but my friends over here say you're guilty. Aval Ma'eseh Shechaveri Rabu Alai. But I'm outnumbered here. There's Rov. Tamal Omar Lo Selech Rachil. So you shouldn't say that. You shouldn't say that my friends say, I say that you're innocent, and my friends say they're guilty. You're guilty, and what am I supposed to do? So let's look at that inside. The first Gemara. We're just going to look at the first Gemara, not the second Gemara. So my mistake. But let's look at the first Gemara on Rechilas. Look at source number 7. So Shnayim Omrim Zakai. So Michtav Hechik Sivi. So let's say we have, well, the court case is where two judges say that the guy's innocent, but one guy says he's guilty. It's a mumminous case. So the question is, how do they write it in the Psak Din? So Rav Yochanan Amar Zakai. So Rav Yochanan says that all they do is write that this guy is innocent. Reish Lakish Amar Ploni Uploni Mezakin. Uploni Mechayv. And Reish Lakish, he says, no, what you're supposed to write is that this judge and this judge say that he's innocent, and the other judge said that he's Chayev. Write down. It's like the Supreme Court. You write the dissenters, and you write those who published the decision. So same thing over here. State who said what. So Rav Elazar Omar Medivrehen is Zakia Ploni. So Rav Elazar is a compromise. He says that you shouldn't name names, but also you shouldn't just leave out or that there is a dissenting opinion. So instead, you write Medivrehen is Zakia Ploni. From their words, this individual became innocent. There's an implication from that, as opposed to just saying Zakai, that there was a disagreement. So my Benayu, what's the difference between the two? So Ika Benayu Lishlume Ihu Manasa Bahadayu. So there's a nafkamina. There's actually a practical difference as to how they write the Psak Din, which is whether, so in general, if a judge makes a mistake in Mamanas, they're chayv to pay. And the question is, you know, should the guy who said he's guilty and didn't want to let him off from paying, should he be obligated to pay in a situation where the Zakai has made a mistake? So that's the question. So Dilamandam or Zakai Mishalim. So if you write in the Psak Din that everyone basically said he was innocent, that he's innocent, then even the one who argued that he's obligated has to pay as well. He has to make up the money. He has to pay the money. Lamandam or Ploni Uploni Mizakin Uploni Uploni Machaivin Lo Mishalim. But the other side who holds that you're as honest as possible and you say this judge said that he's chayev, but the other two said he's zakai, then the judge who said he was chayev does not have to pay if a mistake was made by the other two. But then the Gemara says it doesn't make sense. L'mandam or zakai mishalim? So why should the one who said zakai, sorry, it's the other way. Ploni uploni mizakin, uploni uploni mechayvin. Right. L'mandam or zakai mishalim, the one who said he was innocent, why should he pay? Lema lehu ila didi tzaisisun asunami lo shalimtun. So he could say to the other two, if you sided like I did, then we wouldn't have to pay either. If you listen to me, then you wouldn't have to pay either. So why should he have to pay no matter what? Even if they wrote Zakai on it, why should the one who said Chayev have to pay? He shouldn't have to pay. He could say to the other two judges that you didn't listen to me. So why should I have to pay for your mistake? So Eli Iko Binaihu Lishlume Inhu Minasa Didei. So the other possibility is that the two innocent judges who said innocent, they'll have to also pay another extra portion, and they'll have to cover the portion of the guy who said he was chayev if they write zakai. L'manda amar zakai mishalmi. So the one who says that you should write on the psak din that the guy's innocent without mentioning the dissenting opinion, so the two judges have to pay for the third judge. L'manda amar ploni uploni mizakin and ploni uploni mechayvin lo mishalmi. But in the case where they state what the people said and that there were dissenters, so the Zakai's, they don't have to cover the cost of the Mechayvin. They only have to pay for what they messed up. So the Gemara asks the same question. L'man damar Zakai Mishalmi, v'leim rulei ilav at bahadon lo'av asalik dina midi. So why do they have to cover, why do the two innocent judges have to cover the one who says they're Chayev? They could say to him, listen, the only reason why we have a Beis Din and we're chayiv in general is because of you. If it was just the two of us, we wouldn't be chayiv in this. You're the one who made us, or you, because you joined with us, that's why we're chayiv in the first place, because our judgment would be worth nothing if we didn't have you. So either way, it doesn't make sense. So the Gemara gives a different answer. Ika benayu, mishum lo selech rachil ba'amecha. So what is the nafkamina? Whether or not you're over the iser of rachilas. Rav Yochanan amar zakai mishum lo selech rachil. So Rav Yochanan says that zakai, why should you write in the psak din that the person's innocent without mentioning that anybody argued? Because of the pasuk of lo selech rachil. And the assumption is that you don't want to defame the person. You don't want people to think that this person was somewhat guilty. So you don't mention that one of the judges said and believed that he was guilty. He was chayev. Reish Lakish amar ploni uploni mezakin uploni uploni mechayevin mishum demechse kishikra. But Reish Lakish says no way. Lo selech rachil doesn't apply. It's gonna look like a lie if the court puts out there that this guy is completely innocent and nobody argued. Then it looks like the court is lying, so we have to be as precise as possible. And then finally, Rav Elazar islay demar v'islay demar. So Rav Elazar is like one and like the other. He compromises hilchach kasvi hachi. So what you should write is midivrehem nizdakya ploni, that from their words, this individual is innocent. And when you write it that way, everyone knows there's like a wink wink there, that everyone knows that it wasn't clear cut, that everyone agreed he was innocent. However, you don't mention the specific names of the judge who said he was chayev, that said he was guilty, and the names of the judges who said he was innocent, because that would be a problem of lo selech rachil. So what exactly is the concept of lo selech rachil in this Gemara? And also there's a machlokes as to whether or not this is a violation of lo selech rachil. And then you have the third opinion where he says we compromise, and we don't want to make the Beis Din look like they're liars in saying that this guy's completely innocent. So even though practically he's innocent, but conceptually there was a judge that thought he was guilty, so we should let everyone know that. But we don't want to do it in a way, according to Rav Elazar, where it really defames him. We want to protect him somewhat, so we don't mention which judge said what. So what exactly is the idea of Rechilas here? And look at Tosfos over there. He says, Mishum de Mechsi Kishikra. So why is it that, according to Reish Lakish, you should say who said what, like in the Supreme Court decisions? The answer is, Mishum lo selech rachil ein kan. So Tosfos says there's no iser of lo selech rachil in this case. But rather, we have to worry, we have to be concerned about shikra. So the machlokes is, the arguments between the two sides are, if you wrote down on a piece of paper, Beis Din wrote down that there was a machlokes in the judgment, and this judge said that he was guilty, would that be a violation of lo selech rachil, or would it not be a violation of lo selech rachil? And in trying to explain this and trying to define it, we can get a better understanding of what rachilas is. What is rachilas according to this? So does anybody who came to the shir have any ideas, or to try to explain according to this gemara, what is rachilas? How would you define rachilas? And what would be the machlokes between the two sides? So what is that machlokes? So I just want to try to give an answer.
Funny, the judge is not, the judge has no, horse in the race. He doesn't know the guy, doesn't care about the guy.
Exactly. You know what I mean? So why should that be lo selech rachil? Exactly. That would be like Rav Elazar saying, Rav Elazar's statement, that lo selech rachil. Not Rav Elazar, sorry, Reish Lakish, that really, like what you're saying, the judges have no, like you're saying, they don't have a bias against this guy. They're just writing the truth down. So what is so why would it be lo selech rachil?
Not only that, they're involved in a halachic process that was carried out properly, and it's the, insofar as he's concerned, it's the truth.
Exactly.
He's not there to defame the guy. I don't get it at all.
Exactly. So what is Rechilas according to this way of learning? Exactly. And by the way, I just want to say the psak is that we hold, like Rav Elazar in the end, that the way we do it is that we try to compromise on the two. So look in source number 10, the Rambam, he brings it down the halacha. Shal echa mi bali dinam lichtav lo psak din, kosin lo kachba ploni lebeis din, shal ploni imploni baldino. So you write down what happened. Shetanu bechach, v'yatze zakai ochayev. V'nosin lo, v'ein maskir in shem hamazakin, v'lo shem hamachayvin. So you write down whether or not the guy's guilty or innocent, but you don't write down which judges were mechayev and which judges were mezakeh. El beis din shel ploni medivrayim nezakeh ploni. You just write it like that. That the beis din of this beis din, from their words, it came out that this guy was innocent. But the implication is that it wasn't, you know, that we're not sure whether or not there was disagreement in the situation or not. But you write it in a way where you protect the guy, but also you don't want the beis din to look like they're liars. But what exactly is the idea of rechilas based on?
How do you write the opinion if there's no dissent?
Right. I don't. That's a good question. I think you just write zakai. I think. So then it would be clear, right? I think you write zakai. Yeah. The only difference between the two is whether or not you write. Right. So the difference is if you write midivrayim nezakeh ploni, so then it's clear that there was some dissent. But for some reason, it's better that way, which we'll try to explain. But I think if everyone agrees, then you just write zakai because you want it to be, you don't want it to be sheker, like the Gemara says, right?
What about if the guy's guilty and everybody agrees?
Yeah, same thing. I mean, I would think the same thing, but good question. I mean, I have to look up, I don't want to give up, I don't want to, you know, I have to look up these halachos. I was just doing this halacha, but it's a good question. Let me hold off and I'll look into it and I'll get back to you because, you know, I don't want to make up stuff. So we'll look into it. I'll look into it after the shiur and I'll get back to you for sure. But the main point is, the main idea here is that in the case where there is dissent, so in that situation, we want to make sure that, or we don't want to mention the names of the judges. And in that way, according to Rav Elazar, we're compromising because he says, V'islay demar, v'islay demar. So it's not a violation of lo selach rachil, but it's also not sheker. There's truth to it. So just trying to take up this case, but good question on the other cases. I'll definitely look that up after the shear's over. But what is rechilas? That's really what I want to focus on. What is rechilas according to this Gemara? So I think that the answer lies in a different approach to rechilas, which we didn't take up yet. But Rashi and the Rambam, they seem to agree with one another. That concur with one another. There we go. They seem to concur with one another on what rechilas is. They have a more similar approach. And if we understand it in their context, I think we can go back to this Gemara and try to understand it in the framework of the Gemara as well. So what is rechilas according to Rashi and according to the Rambam? So rechilas, look at Rashi in source number 11. Lo selach rachil, ani omer al shem shekol mishalche medanem umisaper lashon hara, holchem bevate re'ehem l'ragil, Ma yiru ra o ma yishmu ra lisaper bashuk. So anyone who wants to create discord and they want to speak lashon hara, so the process to do that and to be successful is that you spy on your friends and then you say things that you see and you witness to other people in the streets. Nikraim holchei rachil, and these individuals are called holchei rachil, holchei regila. So Rachil and Regila, the Chaf and the Gimel are interchangeable according to Rashi. It means spying. It's you spy in order to tell stories about your friends, or not really your friends, or enemies as well. And what's interesting is that you never find Rechilas in Tanakh unless there's the word Halach next to it, to go. Lo Selach Rachil, like in this situation, you should not go and be a Rachil, or spy. Holchei rachil nechoshes ubarzel ushar loshen hara ein kasu bohalicha malshine or malshine b'seisur ehu loshen rumia loshen medaberes gedolos. All those are psukim about loshen hara, but it never says holech, only by rachil. Lachach ani omer shel loshen rachil loshen holech umeragel. So it means to go and spy. Shakaf nechlefes begimel. So chaf can be interchangeable with gimel. Shekol osio shemotz ehem yimakom echtak mischalfos zu bezu. So any letters that come from the same origins of pronunciation, like the chaf and the gimel, I guess from the part of the throat that originates the letter, are interchangeable. Beis bepei, I guess uvav gimel uvav. So I guess the same way you use your lips for those three, they're similar. Gimel bechaf vekuf, nun belamed veresh vezayin betzadi. So that's an interesting concept that Rashi's saying, that you can interchange, there's an interchangeable quality to these letters. because they come from the same guttural source, or the same source in the tongue or the mouth or the lips. V'chein vayiragel be'avdecha ragel v'tirma lomar alai ra'a. So you see it in a lot of places. V'chein lo ragel l'shono v'chein rochel hasocher meragel achar kol schora. There's also a case of a merchant who it says they're meragel after all merchandise and business. V'chol mocher b'samim liskashe b'ham anashim. Anybody who sells perfume in order that women have the proper perfume is called meragel. Alshem shemachazir tamid bayaros nikra rochel, and they're a rochel. They go from city to city. So anyone who travels from place to place, and they tend to witness what other people are doing, and they're spying on them. But in the case of lashon hara, it's for the purpose of saying negative things, and it's lashon rogel. It's like spying. Okay, so we could stop there. And so basically, Rashi holds that a rechilus is a type of lashon hara which starts with spying. You spy on somebody else, you witness what they do, and then you tell other people in the street what they're about, and you create this discord in society, and you defame the person that way. And if you look in the Rambam, he has a similar approach. He says, Amraga b'chavero over belosase, shenem or loselech rachel b'amecha. So he learns the same as Rashi, that rochel and meragel are the same concepts, or similar, that it's spying for the purpose of telling lashon hara. V'afal pishen lokin al davarzeh avon gadolhu v'gorim laharog nefashos rabos min Yisrael. So it's a really bad sin, causes the death of many in Yisrael, this type of discord. L'chach nismach lo v'lo samor al damreyecha. That's why it's next to the pasuk where it says that you shouldn't stand by while your friend is dying. Tzeil mad ma'ira l'doi kadomi. So doi kadomi is your classic case of Rochel, where he was spying and he was saying negative things, and it created a lot of discord in the situation of David. And then finally, Ezu Rachil. So again, the Rambam says that what is a rochel? What's rechilus? When a person goes from house to house or place to place, and they say, I heard this about this guy, I heard this about that person, even if it's emes, even if it's true, so they're destroying the world. They're macher hazolam. So according to this way of learning, rechilus, what is it? Can we define it a little bit better? So rechilus, I think, is not just speaking lashon hara, but it's really inciting others to speak lashon hara. So the definition of rechilus, according to the Rambam and Rashi, it seems to be not just about yourself and your own action, but it's more about your desire to incite others to say lashon hara in order to create discord, in order to create fights between different individuals. So you function and you funnel the lashon hara and the discord by spying on people and saying things in the street, saying one thing to one person and one thing to another person. So the ikar of rechilus, I think, is not the actual what you're doing, but it's really the result of inciting, of creating opportunities for others to speak poorly about their friends, about their enemies, and create more lashon hara as a result of it. So if that's a definition, it makes sense now, if we go back to our Gemara, what the idea is, what the machlokas is, and what rechilus is. So even with regard to Beis Din, if the idea of rechilus isn't necessarily to say lashon hara, but it's to incite lashon hara, so now it makes sense. The Gemara is saying, lo selech rochel, according to Rav Yochanan, is that even Beis Din has to be conscious of a situation where rechilus, where lashon hara might emerge from the fact that they write in their psak din, that there was an argument between the two sides. So even if it's true, and even if it's emes, like the Rambam says, even if it's emes, you're still a rochel. But Beis Din, it has to be conscious, it has to be aware of the fact that if they put it out there, that there was somebody who looked at this individual and said he was guilty, how that would create a defamation of his character. So that is rechilus. Rechilus is where you incite others to speak lashon hara, and where you're the cause. Whereas the other side, according to Reish Lakish, he's saying, no, that really rechilus has to be where you're actually speaking lashon hara, where like Rabbi Unger was saying, that where you yourself have to be involved in the lashon hara. But if you're not involved in the lashon hara itself, you're just putting out fact, like Rabbi Unger said. So that's not really rechilus. Rechilus is not just putting out information that you know will create defamation, but rechilus is where you yourself are participant in the defamation. You yourself, even if it's MS, you yourself are actively looking to destroy this person, to create discord. Whereas Beis Din is not doing that. So that would be the machlokas on what rechilus is. But again, the purpose of this year and this part of this year was to define what it is. And I think it's unique. It's a unique type of Lashon Hara. It's not really Lashon Hara for itself, but it's Lashon Hara for the purpose of inciting others and creating a larger discord in society. And I think that that's why it makes sense within the Gemara is to, and they're trying to refine the concept of Rechilas. Is Rechilas just putting out information that you know people will use to defame, that you know will be turned into an idea of defamation against the person? Or must you yourself be involved in the act of defaming the person? You must be involved in the desire and the purpose and the function of defaming the person. So, of course, Rav Elazar is trying to take a moderate approach. He's saying that you can protect both. You can protect the integrity of Beis Din without really putting enough information that Beis Din would be considered responsible for the defamation or even encouraging or somewhat the supporting the defamation. And that's if you write Midivrayim Nizdake Ploni. But if you put it out there that this judge said that so-and-so is guilty and he's a bum, so that's going to create Rechilas. That is Rechilas. That is what Rechilas is. It's creating opportunities for others. It's creating a situation and fostering a situation of defamation, of Motzi Shem Ra, of destroying a person's character. So that is the nature of Rechilas. So I think let me just summarize this year to this point, and then I'll take up questions. So to this point, I just wanted to talk about what is Rechilas? The Pasuk says, Lo Selech Rachel Ba'amecha. But the question is, what is that? What is a Rachel? It's not really clear from the Pasuk. And the word itself is, again, all the Mefarshim and the Gemara say that it's a composite of other words or it means something else. So what is it? So one approach we had was based on the Gemara in Ksubos, where we had a Machlokes on what the source of Motzi Shem Ra was. And we said that Rechilas, according to one side, is the deliberate act of just trying to destroy somebody verbally, and according to the other side, you learn out from Minishmar Tami Kol Davara that really they look at Motzi Shem Ra as really a byproduct of the unconscious, and a person becomes ensnared in a situation and it just pops out of your mouth, Motzi Shem Ra. So we said that was Machlokes, but Rechilas, according to Reb Nassan, was the source or was a possible source for Motzi Shem Ra. And it's limited to Beis Din because in that situation, there's Mishpat Hashem. We have to be more conscious. Beis Din has to be more conscious of their bias and how it affects justice and Mishpat Hashem because they're reflective of Hashem, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But nevertheless, we saw that Rechilas, again, was Motzi Shem Ra. However, we went on and we saw another idea in Rechilas, and it's a more universal idea, and it's tied to the idea of being a meragel, being a spy. And we derived it from the Rambam and Rashi, and we used that concept to explain the Gemara. The Gemara has a machlokes as to how the judges should write their psak din. Should they reveal in their psak din that the person really, there was a judge that was guilty or felt they were guilty or not? Or should they protect his character? And we were trying to understand what Rechilas is. And we used the idea of the Rashi and the Rambam to explain that Rechilas is really not just about defaming a person, like Motzi Shem Ra per se, according to this side of learning it, but rather it's about inciting Lashon Hara. It's about fostering Lashon Hara, and that's what the Rochel does. He goes from house to house in order to foster Lashon Hara and create discord. So the question in the Gemara is, does Beis Din just putting out the fact and just creating a psak din that this guy, there was one judge that said he was guilty, is that considered Rechilas? Is that fostering Lashon Hara? Or do you say, no, that really, that's not fostering Lashon Hara, like Rabbi Unger was saying. You're just putting out facts. In order to foster Lashon Hara, you have to be engaged in the desire of defamation, the desire to create discord, which Beis Din has no interest in. So that would be the machlokes on whether it's Rechilas. But according to Rabbi Lozar, the shara is that we do both, that we recognize that even though Beis Din themselves aren't trying to defame, this could potentially create a defamation or foster defamation. So we're going to protect, or we're going to create a situation as much as possible to prevent defamation. And we're also going to be as honest as possible as to the psak din so that we get greater understanding as to how Beis Din work and how they thought through this case. So I just want to wish everybody a good Shabbos. And hopefully the idea of Rechilas is now clearer as to what it is. Although we have different opinions on it, it is funny that the Torah is not so clear as to what it is. And we really have to learn it out from Rach the Kasha, Regilus, the idea of Regilus. So, so hopefully we have a greater insight. So with that, I end the shir, but I also open it up to questions. Any more questions on the shir?